This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. It's a Sunday morning, third day of November. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Thank you. And a good morning to everybody down there in the Big G, the original Big G. You know what I'm talking about?
Who's that?
Griffin.
Oh, Griffin.
You told me don't mess with them folks at Griffin.
Man, they get upset with you about that G on the side of that helmet now.
So we are still efforting, as she brings it down a little bit here, working on Jason. See, that's the problem. You know, he said he's going to join us, and that'd be great if we can get him. But I would have understood if he wanted to sleep in because – you know, he had to stay up last night and work. She's working on it right now.
I think he's ready for us.
Well, she hasn't given me the thumbs up, so I ain't going to say nothing yet. So I will tell you right now, I'll drive you back to Get Cast with Greg to see that list and also remind you that the Red One trailer is still airing.
Yeah.
It's right around the corner, man.
It's coming up soon?
Right, November 15th.
Okay.
November 15th, and I've been waiting to release a picture. How long have I been sitting on the picture, Sam?
We've been hanging on that for a minute.
Couple years.
For a long time.
I've been wanting to put this picture out, and I can't because, you know, you sign these NDAs, you can't put anything out that shows you part of the... So, anyway. This is just an interesting...
It's the final countdown.
I am so glad I dipped my toe into this industry. I have learned so much.
Okay.
Anyway, as we welcome Jason Longshore in here this morning. Jason...
He is awake and coherent.
He is. And listen, for everybody else, before we get to Jason, we wanted to make you... once again, get into the feel of what was going on last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, along with our own Mike Conti.
Rios gets up under it to hit it forward. Now it's loose in the middle, and it rolls to Rios. Rios passing to Moyamba. Ahead to Shanti Silva, top of the arc, shot! Score! 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 With 30 seconds to play!
That brings on my first question as we welcome Jason Longshore on. He's right there.
Yeah.
It's got to be one of those times where you're sitting next to somebody who's doing a great impression of somebody really famous, and you're just looking at him. When Mike goes the way he does, whether it's boom shakabaka or whatever, as you guys are in the booth, do you ever just look at him and just go, man, this is great? Or what's your reaction to his call sometimes, Jason?
In that moment, I'm just trying to pick up everything that is happening, because like that play had so many little elements to it, because you got to remember, like after things start to calm down, I've got to explain what happened. I've got to break down what happened. So I can't completely lose my mind in those moments. And if I do, I've got to find it again really quick. So like, I'm trying to get to capture everything as best as I can in my head, and then try to bring whatever else needs to be brought to it. And a moment like that, that's a once in a lifetime kind of goal and moment and all of it. Like, you don't get many late winning goals in a playoff game where if you don't get it, I mean, in that case, we're at least going to penalties, but, you know, your season might be done. Like, right. It's that kind of a goal. We've seen late winning goals before, but one like that, we haven't, and I don't know if we'll see it again.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of Smoltz kind of biting his tongue after we just saw the World Series. Okay, it's a World Series. A big home run happens in the World Series, and the play-by-play guy goes sideways. Freddie Freeman is a grand slam. And then you guys, do you ever do that thing that we see in baseball all the time? Just let the crowd take over?
It depends on the moment. I mean, that one, yeah, we laid out for a long time after after the initial call. We laid out for a long time. It's all different. Like, I think you have to react as natural as you can to it. I mean, you know, I will react to goals when they happen sometimes. You'll hear me make some kind of crazy noise in the background. It happens. We're human beings, you know? Like, I think there becomes this idea at times that, no, you can't do that. It's like, yeah, you can. Like, that, honestly, that's the stuff that people say things back to me about is like, oh, I heard you, you know, scream when that ball went in the back of the net. I'm like, yeah, because it was great, you know? Like, it happens. Like, I'm not going to start talking over Mike in that moment, but do I react? Sometimes, yeah, like it happens where we love what we do and we fall in love with the passion of the sport. And yeah, like there's a job to do and you have to do it and you have to do it properly. But for me, in moments like that, especially, like my thought process is, you know, get out of the way, but also don't shut down, because it's not even like a baseball situation where, you know, you're trying to talk about importance of things and this and that. Like, I need to, a lot of times in that moment, explain how it happened.
Right.
Like,
right.
Basically do the replay with words.
Yeah.
So, you know, those little things, and what I always typically try to do and what I really enjoy that I think I can capture pretty well is not just, okay, this guy passed to this guy and the ball's in the back of the net. It's, why did they pass there? How did they pass it there? Was there a third player that was involved in the buildup? Sometimes a fourth, like in this case. Mm-hmm. Paint the whole picture in that moment to give the proper context and things. So it's a lot of stuff that it's all happening at once as you're trying not to lose your mind.
Man, we are pleased to be spending some time on the WaitForIt.com hotline on this Sunday morning with Jason Longshore, who obviously had no problem getting his clocks at the right time because he's on with us. And he is social. You can always find him at Longshore, at Longshore. Talk a little bit about this match last night. The atmosphere seemed remarkable. It was a throwback. To me, it was a throwback to 17, to 18, and the way the fans here would pack the place out and the building would practically shake when Atlanta United was playing the way they played last night. You saw something, though, with the officiating, and I want to bring that up, how they seemed to solve. There was an injured player there, and it seemed like it took a lot of time to treat this guy on the field and then bring him off, and you saw some things. Remember, this team in Miami, they're like the oldest team in the league, right? So we're giving them dudes the time to refresh a little bit, to me. I don't know how you saw that.
Yeah, that I didn't like the way that was managed. You could bring him back on, and there's all these little subtle differences between pools and different leagues around the world, so it can get a little confusing at times. When a player is being bandaged up for a blood issue, because you know you have to bandage them up in that moment, they can be immediately brought back into the game. That part's fine. The referee handled that according to the rules of the competition. But he could have had him get off the field to get bandaged up. And he allowed that to drag for a long time. And it kind of took some of the steam out of the crowd a little bit. And, you know, it didn't happen intentionally to have blood as an issue here. I mean, you know, he didn't blade himself. We're not talking about 1980s WCW wrestling or anything, but you could have managed that moment differently. And I thought it did kind of affect the momentum there for a little while. The crowd as a whole, I mean, yeah, it did feel like big moments from 2018 and 2019, but I know it's easy, and we all do it, to forget about some of the season opening crowds that we've had over these past couple of seasons. This team and this fan base, like, it's not all that different than the other big fan bases in the city. when the Falcons are winning and hot and get into a playoff game, it's a different vibe. It's a different energy, right? When they're not and they're not playing well and it's a midseason game, it's a different vibe and a different energy and a different number in the building. That's sports. Atlanta United's the same thing. And when you get, and I think one of the biggest reasons why that crowd was the way that it was how they played in Fort Lauderdale in game one. I said it to, you know, everybody, and I said it especially to Rob Valentino, you know, that game down there with the tired legs, with the fatigue, with the whole moment of everything, the fight that they showed, taking that one to the limit, that was one of the most inspiring games that I've ever seen. And it was one of the games that I told Rob, I will always remember how it felt for me to call. There have been wins. I mean, that was a loss. There have been bigger wins that I remember the game and watched back the highlights, all that, but I don't necessarily remember how I felt in the moment. That performance in Fort Lauderdale was that kind of a game where I will remember how it felt to call it. I think fans felt that performance as well, and that's why they came out and were making so much noise and were so passionate and so into it all night long and trying to spur this team on.
Yep. You got a whole week to go between, and I don't know how you feel about that. I'll get that. And before we get out of here, the other question, does Valentino get interim removed from his job title? Have we seen enough to do that? Have we seen enough to do that?
I don't know. Like, it's such a fascinating question because, you know, it's changed. Like, every game over the past few weeks, I think the conversation has to evolve, right? What he's done. And, you know, Derek Williams talked about it with Mike and I last night in the locker room. Other people in the area were talking about it as well. That team last night, and I would say the performance in Fort Lauderdale as well, and the Montreal performance Decision Day performance as well, they played like a Rob Valentino team. It was his personality. They were gritty. They fought. They found a way. They were pragmatic in all the good ways. They took what they had to work with, and they got it done. You have to consider him, you know? I don't know what the thought process is going to be at this point. You know, Garth Lagerwey has told us in pregame conversations that they've done interviews, and Rob has interviewed, and he has been a formal candidate, but then they did other interviews after that. So I don't know where anything stands right now. But it seems like after a win like that one and the performances that you've seen from this team, that every possibility has to be on the table right now.
Yeah, we'll be watching for that. Hey, we got to run out of here at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, man.
You get some. When I texted you last night, I said, I can understand if he says no. It was quite a night last night. But Jason, as always, we appreciate
you. Took one for the team.
And great to have you on with us this morning, man.
Thank you, Jason.
I'm just surprised I actually still have a voice left. So y'all are lucky because I wasn't sure if that was going to happen.
Well, go rest it and enjoy your Sunday, and as always.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
There you go, Jason Long Show. We go from one guest to another, keeping in the football realm.
Yeah.
But you join us next, getting us ready for Cowboys and Falcons. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Didn't want to step on that. You ready to bring our guest on here?
Oh, yeah.
Got to thank him for coming on this morning. D. Orlando Ledbetter getting a set for Falcons Cowboys. Mr. Crenshaw, I will acquiesce.
I hope he's excited by hearing Atomic Dog and don't get a penalty flag thrown like our frat brothers at South Carolina State, D. Led.
The bros up there kind of went for it. It's over the whole end zone.
Yeah, they did. They did. They do that. Yeah, they did. But we're going to talk about the Falcons here today and this week. And the Cowboys in town, we knew when the schedule was made this was going to be a special week. But the Falcons, we didn't know the Falcons would be in first place the way they are. But what are some things we need to do to maintain that we don't take our foot off the pedal? Because that's the thing my concern today.
Yeah, no doubt. And we've seen it a couple weeks ago against Seattle. They let them hang around. And then it got, you know, sideways late. And you know, they can't do that against Dallas. You know, the thing that they did in that game that, you know, extended drives, had some misfires. Saw some last week, even when they got up 31-17, you know, fumbled the ball out of the end zone. You know, extended a couple drives with penalties and so forth. So you got to clean all that stuff up, try to play a clean game, and go ahead and beat a team that you should, you know, be able to take care of these days.
And D-Led, given the injuries on the Cowboys' defensive side of the ball, if they keep those knucklehead, you know, plays away from this game, and as you said, play a clean game, you got to feel good about this offense going up against that Cowboys' defense.
Yeah, no doubt. You don't really have to do much. You know, they're kind of light up front. You can run the ball on them. So, you know, this looks like a game where you load it up and give the ball to your two running backs there, Bijan and Tyler Algier. And, you know, just run it down their throats, get out of there with a win, sustain the drive, get touchdowns. Can't have cool missing field goals, and you should be able to, you know, by 4 o'clock, the Falcons should be in a pretty good spot.
I'll use your term again, D-Led, and playing clean. Are you liking the way these the offensive weapons have been used this year, specifically Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, no doubt. We saw it kind of start off with Kurt being really comfortable with Ray Ray on the checkdowns and Bijan on the checkdowns, and then he kind of moved to London. And Mooney, and then, you know, as of late, we've seen Kyle Pitts get open deep and make some big plays for the offense. So, yeah, he's spreading it around now, and, you know, teams can't, you know, sit on one receiver. So it's definitely made them more diversified.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with D. Orlando Ledbetter, AJC. He is social. You always can find him at D. Orlando AJC, at D. Orlando AJC. We talk about what's missing from the Cowboys from the defensive side. Talk about their offensive side. And we always wonder which Dak Prescott we're going to get. But we understand their running back, the veteran running back, has been left home. Does that make a difference, though? Is he making that kind of impact this season?
No, Zeke has got left home for disciplinary reasons. He's a 9-year veteran. I don't understand that, but we'll, you know, that's their problem.
Yep.
but Rico Dowdle's their lead running back. They bought Zeke back just for short yard and stuff, and he has two of their three rushing touchdowns, so it hasn't been great. They did activate Delvin Cook, former four-time Pro Bowler, who's trying to revive his career down in Dallas. So he's only had 6 carries this year for 12 yards. So you don't need to let that running game get going. And then you got to take care of CeeDee Lamb in the passing attack. The wide receiver led the league with 135 catches last year. He's off to a good start, and he'll be Dak's primary target today.
Understand Cowboys' offensive line has had some problems. Could this be the week that we get some sacks? Because I understand this offensive line leaves a lot to be desired out in Dallas.
Yeah, well, they've been working at it. And, you know, Jimmy Lake said the pass rush is evolving. But last week it evolved to 0 sacks and 0 quarterback hits. So let's just say they're due for some sacks. I think Dak has been sacked 18 times. If you could take CeeDee Lamb away and force him to hold it, then, you know, then the guy's got a shot to get there. You know, Matt Judon has not had a sack since the second game of the season. So, you know, we need to see him get going. Clearly, Coach Morris said, hey, you know, when they have had one-on-one matchups, they haven't won enough of them. So, you know, he's not sugarcoating anything there. He's probably told the players the exact same thing he told us. So guys that get their one-on-one matchups need to get home to the quarterback. And that's what the coach wants to see, and that's what they reportedly have been working on since, you know, we don't get to see nothing but stretching anymore. We just have to take their word for it.
I always like getting D-Liz's opinion about some of the other teams, especially in the division. I'm trying to get past that one.
Yeah, man, go ahead.
And I was thinking of you. You popped into my head when I heard the news this past week, or a report, I should say, when they were speculating about movement and quarterbacks that are getting second lives. Of course, you got the game tonight. Joe Flacco is going to be put in to Indianapolis, and we know he got off the couch a couple years ago and has seen some success coming back. But my question is about Carolina. And what they're doing there, and the report that Bryce Young is possibly being moved. If you were covering that team or know what was going on up there or any kind of connection to it, how would that land with you as far as already? Do you feel like they should be thinking about moving this dude?
Well, I mean, you know, it's you got an unstable ownership situation. If he's not your quarterback and he can't play, then move him, you know. We're seeing people move a little quicker off of guys. You know, the Jets probably held on to Zach Wilson longer than they needed to. You saw the move on from Trey Lance real quick in San Francisco. So if you decide your new regime there, Dan Morgan and Coach Canales, that, you know, he's not your guy, I mean, that's a rough thing to tell the owner who just gave away 3 first-round picks to get him.
Yeah.
But if you got to move on, you got to move on. So I learned that from Ron Wolf in Green Bay. It's like, hey, you know, they drafted some defensive end high in the first round, but they found out he couldn't play right away. And so he said there's no sense of compounding the mistake and moving on and trying to get what you can get and try to build your foundation in another way.
What are we looking at, though? Because all people is talking about the maturation process for quarterbacks in this league and how so much is expected because they run pro-style offenses in college. People think they're going to come right on in. You're going to get what you got with Stroud down in Houston last year. That's not necessarily so. And what do you make of what happened with Richardson last week in Indianapolis? Can he stay there?
He was tired, Sam.
No, you know what I mean? Are we throwing too much at these guys too soon? Because we think about Richardson and his potential. He didn't play a whole lot of football down in Florida. But we expect him all of a sudden to step in and be this mature, ready person to go at the next level. What are we looking at?
Well, what we're seeing is a problem with developing quarterbacks. You know, teams don't want to be patient like the Falcons and the Green Falcons are trying to do now. What the Green Bay Packers did with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and Love. You know, they got the guys in, taught them the pro game. You know, let them sit for 3 years and you know, develop the quarterbacks like they used to do before we had all these billionaire owners and, you know, wanting returns on their investment and all that kind of stuff. You know, you're throwing people out there that aren't ready to play. And we're seeing them get recycled now. You know, Baker in Tampa, Darnold in Minnesota, you know, Jared Goff from the Rams to the Lions. So, you know, teams are just being rushing the development of the quarterbacks and messing it up. And, you know, then some guys are getting second chances at it. But that's what it is. Folks want instant gratification in this microwave age when the guys are playing that aren't ready to play. So, you know, it's just the old school versus new school approach. Falcons are going old school here with Michael Penix, who is, you know, lighting it up in practice. But I know the fans don't want to hear that. They want to see Michael Penix, man. My neighbor was like, hey, Led, tell him to quit playing with us and put Penix out there. I'm like, man, he's not going to play. They're developing him. So until they do otherwise, we're going to stick with the developmental plan. And some teams need to do that too. You know, if you're going to, you know, draft a high commodity like that, don't throw him out there when he doesn't know what he's doing.
You also got to look at this, Sam. The schedule is on the Falcons' side, too. I mean, they got two more division games. The second one we just got to talk about Carolina, so I'm not really worried about that one. And the teams that they're playing, short of Minnesota right now, and I don't know, you can make a case for maybe one or two others, it's looking pretty good. D-Led, you're looking at a playoff team right now. We've asked you this before, but the way it's constructed and them playing them, as you like to put it, are we looking at a team?
Yeah, Greg, if, you know, they got 9 games to go, long season here. They're off to a good start and great position. Now, they're going to be underdogs in 3 games. That's going to be Minnesota, maybe Washington. So then you win the other 6, you are in the playoffs at 11-6 and possibly got a home game. So, yeah, if they just handle their business here, and if they pull off an upset in Minnesota or something, or Washington, then, you know, you're 12-5 and looking pretty good going into the playoffs. So, yeah, it looks like the way they played the first 8 games, you could see them still trying to get better. There's room for improvement. And handling the business, the games in front of you, you got to win down in New Orleans next week. Then you go out to Denver. Then you got your bye week. So you're setting up there pretty good after 11 games. And then come back and close it out strong. And maybe we have a playoff game here in Atlanta for the first time since 2016.
Man, that's what we're looking at. Folks, that is D. Orlando Ledbetter. And like, once again, I said, he is social. You can find him at D. Orlando AJC. Go there later because you're going to get to see the bow tie check and see what he's going to be sporting today for the Falcons and Cowboys. D. Led, we appreciate you joining us.
Appreciate it, man.
I'll see you in a couple hours.
All right, Greg and Sam, thanks for having me this morning.
There you go. Thank you, D. Led. As always, we are, listen, we got a couple things we want to finish up here. We might get another.
And we got some NASCAR, too, now.
Okay, I've got that, and I want to hear another call from Mike Conti from last night. We heard the one call. Hear another one.
Okay.
And we yet to hear from Noel, really, today. So let's see if we can get a minute with Noel to come on here and give us another good morning. It is Sam and Greg on this third day of November. Thank you for part of your Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know, we can listen to this whole song. And you're waiting for that big belting bridge to come out. But we have to move on. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. But we had Whitney brought up this morning because today was the day this song was released. And you got to ask yourself, I know she has come out and said how proud she was of this version, but when it was blowing up, you got to wonder what was running through Dolly Parton's mind.
Does a check clear the bank?
Yeah.
Does a check clear the bank? That's all Dolly was thinking about.
Dolly said, how many zeros?
Yeah,
she probably could have built another amusement park on residuals for this thing.
The check, clear the bank. Yeah. That's all Dolly wanted to know.
Songwriters do. They think, I would imagine. And you know the one that popped into my mind? She died not long ago. But Prince writing the only hit that we know of for Sinead O'Connor. And when that thing was blowing up the way it did. And then, you know, we got to find out more about Sinead.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
That ran through Prince's mind. But anyway, there's a number of people who've written top songs for other people, and you wonder what they were thinking when that song was atop the charts for all those weeks.
Something like Manic Monday, which is
wow, that
song.
Was like the last one I think you would bring up. Manic, yeah, the who was it? That's
the Bangles? No.
Well, there's only two girl groups I'm thinking of. Not the Bangles.
Not the Go-Go's.
No, not the Go-Go's.
It was somebody else.
But they, yes, the Bangles.
Yeah, it was the Bangles.
Okay,
Susanna Hoffs? Something like that? Yeah. How I pull her name out is...
Yeah, just like how I pull the Bangles
out. He was trying to woo the guitarist at that time.
Pardon?
Prince was trying to woo the guitarist at that time of the Bangles.
Really?
So that's how they got Manic Monday.
Okay. What was his excuse for Sheena Easton then? Or was he just trying to woo her?
I can't, you know.
We don't know everything, man.
He just liked the way she drum. I don't know.
Anyway, Sam and Greg here. Is it Mr. Fricky's after us, correct? And the Wade Ford tailgate show is at 11 o'clock. We are getting you set for a full day of football action. We're your opening act, but we talk about a number of things.
Yeah, we do.
A number of things on this day. And I'm going to give you, I haven't given you any insignificant information, but 3 people celebrating a birthday today that you would never put together in the same sentence. You ready for this?
What you got?
Anna Wintour.
Okay.
The Vogue editor or publisher, who she started the magazine, right? Larry Holmes.
Hey, man.
Hey, that's right. Heavyweight champ.
Yeah.
And Lionel Jefferson, the real one.
The real Lionel.
Mike Evans.
Okay.
All 75 years old today.
Man. There okay. Okay.
I know you had some NASCAR. I wanted to get that one out the way.
Yeah, we're racing this week in Martinsville. We had the big paperclip up there, you know, and the test of Man and Machine, both are usually worn out after 500 laps of that joint. Martin Truex is on the pole, and he's not in among the those competing for the championship, but he is on the pole for this. But Chase Elliott is competing, and he qualified second. And so he's starting on the outside of row one. William Byron and Chase Briscoe make up the second row. We got Ty Gibbs and Harrison Burton making up the third row. So we're watching to see what happens. So Chase really is in the point situation where he really needs to go out and get a win today or finish really high, and there's nobody that wins that hadn't already won. You know, that's what you could. Somebody else gets up there and win, and they're going to get the spot and knock him out. So he needs to have a good run. One thing that helps at Martinsville is that when you qualify well, you get to pit on a star on the front side. You know, everybody not pitting on the same place. You got some on the front side, some on the back side. When you qualify well at Martinsville, you get to pit on the front side. That's very important for your success at that track. And so that's what he's hoping to do. Of course, he's won the championship before under this format. And want to see what they can do there, if he can drive to a victory. Last week, Tyler Reddick got the victory. So
Michael Jordan was very, very happy.
Wasn't he happy?
He was very, very happy. But can I go back to a second and bring in a little synergy here?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know what today was the anniversary of?
Anniversary of?
Bill Elliott.
Okay.
Bill Elliott.
Bill Elliott.
Winning the Atlanta Journal 500.
That's what it was called. Back then, right?
The Atlanta Journal 500, which made him the first driver to win 11 races, super speedways.
Yeah.
Was it the same in one year?
It would have been the same.
Yeah.
Could have been. He dominated 85. Those tracks back then. They always wondered what the boys up in Dawsonville were putting in that car.
But anyway, that happened on this
day. What are y'all putting in that car to make it run like that? You know, Ernie and Dan and the rest of the Elliott family, they let people know what they were doing under the hood of that car. Okay. But let's see if Chase can do it, and let's see if we get to hear that siren later today at the pool room up there that they like to do that when he wins. But that's coming up later today up in Martinsville, Virginia.
They say today
when you win that race, you get a grandfather clock.
Do they all say it like that though?
Martinsville, Virginia.
Yeah, like, people. Why do you do that?
People who from Virginia. Martinsville, Virginia.
That's a Virginia accent. Yeah, I've never heard anybody else pronounce it like that.
I worked in the part of North Carolina where I was not far from the Virginia line, and I would hear people refer to that Martinsville, Virginia. And we would. I tell you who also would sound like that.
Okay.
Was Ward Budden. What? What's wrong with you?
I'm just enjoying the impression, man. It's like Frank Caliendo's here today. This is good.
Jeff Burton. You hear Jeff Burton on the races, but his brother, they sound like
they
grew up on the same side of the house or something. I don't know, man. But something in South Boston, Virginia.
You regulated to the basement. Yeah,
Jeff Burton sounds totally different. But Ward Burton in South Boston, Virginia. I mean, that's it's just a different, totally different sound.
They keep him in the cupboard under the stairs like Harry Potter.
Yeah, they can be. Like I said, he's a certain part of that. Don't you even come to this part of the house.
No, don't come around here.
You stay over there. But that's
chitlins over here.
that's this week. That's because we are head for the chase for the championship. Lions in Martinsville today.
Did you know that Phil Simms and the actual Godzilla are only a year apart in age? That's a retort.
That is.
Yeah. Today was the day that Godzilla, the Japanese movie sea monster, it was born.
Really?
1954. And so was Phil Simms.
Same year.
Now here's two people again. I got to get all this out the way here. Your favorite movie series, the director's wife, Mrs. Indiana Jones, or the director of Indiana Jones would be Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Right? He found his current wife in the second Indiana Jones, Kate Capshaw.
Okay.
It's her birthday and Dennis Miller's. They're both 71. Didn't think they were that old.
Okay.
So just stuff like that I got to get off by. Clinton was elected on this day. LBJ was elected on this day.
My fellow Americans. Go ahead.
Yeah. And his running mate, the vice president?
Humphrey.
There you go.
Yeah. Named a big old stadium after
him. Yes, they did. That imploded.
Yeah, the roof kind of fell in.
FDR, like I said, FDR. I asked this question, and it's been posed by many people. There's no real answer for it. It's an opinion. But does this country elect the president not just two times like it is now, but four times if you knew he was in a wheelchair. The country had no idea FDR was crippled like that, right? There was no television.
Okay.
He did his fireside chats and all that. The guy brought us out of the depression.
Yeah.
So he was cool with us, right?
Yeah.
Or our grandparents. But elected four times, last president to get four times. They changed it after him.
Mm-hmm.
But it came out later that
it was a different media. It was different media.
Yeah, it was only radio.
Different media.
But do you think they would have done it? Would they have elected the man, the politician, the brain, and looked past his struggles?
And a lot of it depends on the condition. You know, like you said, he brought out of
that was the first term.
You know,
got
right,
out,
right.
Got elected.
He brought prosperity.
And didn't finish the last one.
But I'm just saying, bringing prosperity, I think, has always meant a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Again, just say, you got to ask yourself that. But FDR, it was his first time elected today. And this is one that we're going to bring it back to sports here. Now, Lou Gehrig won the Triple Crown on this day.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he didn't win the MVP in the American League. He did not win. Well, this is that whole getting back to what's a bigger feat, the 56-game hitting streak by
DiMaggio?
By DiMaggio or Ted Williams hitting 400. I think that was the same year, 41. And then Ted Williams got the MVP. Or the other one. Whoever got it, the other one could have made a case. They deserved it. And I'm saying a guy named Mickey Cochran.
Okay. Got
catcher and manager for the Tigers. He got it that year. He won the MVP in the American League, and Lou Gehrig had to take his triple crown and go home. So, anyway, a little bit of sports there. Kenny Holzman, a guy, Chicago Cubs fans will know that name. Won a couple no-hitters for them. Birthday today. Those of you who play PlayStation, got that console back in the day? Today was the day they released PlayStation for the first time.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Did you ever buy one of those as a present for somebody?
Have not. I haven't bought anybody for anybody. No, I haven't.
Okay. All right, what kind of matchup are we looking at today, man? These Cowboys and the Falcons.
I just like I asked D-Led, if Cowboys are supposed to have problems with their line, then let's go and exploit that with their offensive line. And let's get some sacks. I mean, let's put Dak on his rump a few times today. I mean, that's something we've been waiting to see with this team. You know, let's do that. Let's see what we can do to try to force them to try to run, which they apparently don't do very well. Mm-hmm. You got, three rushing touchdowns this whole season, and the person who scored two of those touchdowns is not even in town.
You're talking about Ezekiel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's, to me, you know, either that or you really take away the run game and make them exclusively throw, and then you really go out and try to tee off.
Is it fair to put these three quarterbacks in the same category? Because I do. I'm not saying they're equal as far as their angst toward me, but they're three guys who can play great. We've seen them play great. But as the analogy I used earlier, they can be a high wire act. Talked earlier about Carson Beck.
Mm-hmm.
He's one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but I got to put Kirk Cousins in there.
High
wire in that he will do so many great things. What did D-Less said? Play a clean game. Don't throw any interceptions.
Yeah.
Don't do, you know, silly stuff.
Well, he ain't throwing a lot of interceptions.
No, I didn't say he threw a lot.
I think some things that haven't been clean with the offense has been the line. You've had a lot of pre-snap penalties with this team. When they lost to Seattle, you had a bunch of that stuff happen.
Anyway,
and so to me, that's something they can't afford to have out there today.
Anyway, I kind of put him in for some past games, and I just feel like,
well, he comes into this game as the NFC.
Yes, no,
of the week.
Again,
yep,
he's in there. Dak is another one.
Okay, well, but yeah, him, I get.
And the other one is Detroit. Is Jared Goff.
Okay.
Those guys, they make you smile and puff your chest out, and then all of a sudden they'll just do something. You like shake your head and go, this is the JV team? That's just me. All right? Fair or not. Those four.
Okay.
Actually, I'd take Dak out of that because he's not even at the same level as those other three guys as far as what I feel about them as quarterbacks. I would take all three of them.
There's the expectation because of the position
that's
he
his
plays
problem.
On the team that he's playing
in. Again, that's his owner's problem. He's the one who put him in that position and won't shut up post game, and leaving Derrick Henry to go, okay, I was here for y'all, you know, right? That whole discussion. I think, you really can't get too deep into hatred for him because he's, as a businessman, we know what he is. But that's the thing. You should let folks know, I'm a businessman first, not a want to get a Super Bowl. where he makes you believe that you know, I'm all in this year, right?
Yeah,
that's what he says.
Yeah.
But no, I'm going to increase the value of this Cowboys team to be the richest franchise on the planet, which I believe he has done.
Well, it is that now. It's the most valuable. It is the most valuable. If they are here in our city today and we want to send them back home, welcome to Atlanta. Great to have you guys in town. But just like Inter Miami last night, there'll be an L at the back door. Be sure and pick that up and put it on the bus with you on your way down to Hartsfield-Jackson.
And while you're doing that, let's leave one in New Orleans. How about that?
Yeah.
Because the Hawks go up against Pelicans today. Pre-tip 6:30, tip at 7 o'clock. And as Noel informed me earlier, that is on WAOK. I know we got to get on out of here. Thank you for everything you did today, Noel.
Thank you, Noel.
You know where we're going? We're going to the north side and Markham lot there.
Okay.
Right around there. That's where Joe Patrick and John Fricke and Joe Patrick are from 9 until 11. So, Mr. Crenshaw, have yourself a wonderful day.
You do as well.
Enjoy your snack later on.
I will do that.
And for the rest of you, thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. It's Sam and Greg. We'll be back next week. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.